walking and walking. How? Walking and how?
One that calls in talking about ivory.
Oh, the dog walking and walking. Watch how strange can people go. Little red roses on the plow.
God.
If you see my little red rooster, please drive him home. If you see my little red rooster,
Carol Cox Show, right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. I'm trying to make a few minor adjustments here and see if we can get some static out of the line. So I hope everything's going good with you folks out there on 2017. And just trying to tighten it up here. Okay. So many things happening out there, and we're closing in on the inauguration. And and all those good things. Everybody will be back to work and back to normalcy, and we'll all have dinner and sing Kumbaya together, and America will be set on its way to success. And
just looking good.
So, many things happening out there with our state government and city government, and we're going to talk about quite a few of them, hopefully. And, man, I don't know where to start. There's so much, and I see the police chief resign, I'm just trying to figure out what constitute crimes and what constitute guilt, and how does one define and how does one act on any of this, and I'm at a loss to understand what is going on. For example, now we know that we see the media quotes Peter Carlisle and he regarding the chief of police, and Carlisle has his, you know, I don't know what field he's playing in, left field, right field, center, who knows. But, you know, sometimes it's not what someone say, it's how they say it and when they say it. And it seems to be pick on the local boy and everybody pile on when you look at the makeup. And so, take, for example, Carlisle. Now, was he married? Did he have any problems with the chief of police? And then what he's being quoted and allowed to have comment about the chief of police. But what should have been stated is that the news should have said, well, Peter Carlisle is also representing, or was, I don't know the status now, but was representing Chuck Tato, the head of the Ethics Commission. And so, therefore, his comments were very guarded against trusting what he say, because clearly, if you can demean or defame or do whatever to a person that you're representing, or you have a client that's in, you know, in legal issues and turmoil with him, quite naturally, you would think that Carlisle would be a gentleman and be professional and just on his own to say, well, I have no real comment about that because I'm representing this. But instead, he gets the opportunity because the system operates that way here in this town. You know, and I guess through innuendo and because the FBI sends you a target letter, then you're automatically guilty. So I wonder. Let me just share something with you. Does this imply guilt, or should the mayor step down, Caldwell step down because of this? Just give you, and there are going to be a couple of things that I talk about, and I'm just curious how you would receive them. And that is, so we know that the mayor, we finally found out without his open disclosure or anything, it was sweated out of him, so to speak, that he was receiving monies from the bank, Territorial Savings Banks, for being on the board. But should we indict him, or should the FBI be writing him and sending him a letter of interest, a target? Because, you see, he got that money from Territorial Savings, or gets money, and I don't know what he does for it. But he also, if you look at the State Campaign Spending Commission's website, you'll see that the person where the committee and depository of the bank where he holds his millions of dollars in the of the campaign and holds it in the bank for spending on these fancy signs or whatever, and maybe a little bit here and a little bit there, and who knows. But there's a lady by the name of Laurie Choi. Now, she's a treasurer. So, Is it possible that, you know, I suspect, and you know, it's possible that it could happen, and the FBI has been known to send people letters of interest, but in this town, only it seems that the boys from the plantation, that whose dad has ran the plantation, get to say and get to do anything, and it's that circle of friends. So I believe that this is cause to have Kirk Caldwell investigated as to are they, you know, and ask the questions, just to, you know, probative in asking, because he hadn't been, we've seen now that you don't have to be found guilty of anything. You just have to be on the inquiry from the FBI, and so therefore you act on it. And then you can demand someone leave. And why he left, that's his decision. But as a citizen and a taxpayer and a person who believe in democracy and the right, you know, to operate and do things normally, legally, as long as you're not found guilty. So I believe that this is good cause to ask the question, ask these questions of Mr. Caldwell. You got this extra money. Is any of that $200,000 coming from your campaign? Is it kind of like, is it washing? I mean, you know, people have done this before, so just out of inquiry, you know, and we are thinking that we might ask the FBI to send a letter to target you, so, you know, for a grand jury. I don't know. Maybe I'm meddling in the wrong area. But if we are going to allow degradation in the judicial process and put the squeeze on people and then have this revolving door of the sugar plantation boys get to come, the Balfours and the Doyles and those people, you know, revolving doors when there's a problem, the sugar boys and sweeten it up. You know, Balfour is back now running the zoo, basically, because the other one left. So there's a lot of things out there that warrants resignation until, because, you know, though they're not guilty, we found that the audit showed that HDR was giving Caldwell lots of money in donation campaigns. And then they were showing in the audit that there was some tolerance for questionable practice in payment. White collar crime? Oh my God, that should be cause for asking for resignation. You know, I don't know, but just thinking, once this monster bull is out of the pasture, it's, we all gonna pay hell to pay, you know, for it, because, and we're going to catch hell, because now we've set a precedent, in my opinion. So it's no longer guilty until, you know, innocent until proven guilty. It's you, we will punish you and squeeze you, but we are selective at who we put the squeeze on. So what you folks are witnessing out there is playbooks from the old plantation days. If you ain't a good field hand in their eyes, then you must move off the plantation. Many of you might know what I'm talking about, and others may think, what the heck is, how could he say that thing, things about paradise? And that kind of behavior doesn't happen here. Well, it does. And it did. And it is. So, in that same vein, now, we got some serious questions about the sewage treatment facilities and the pipelines and what's going on there with the city and the amounts of money and cost overruns and change orders and all, and seem to be, for example, they're between Kamani and Ward Avenue on Halakawila. There was a recent break just the other day, 2 days ago, so on Friday. And this break occurred in the same spot right around Christmas of last year. And they left the road, looked like something from Godzilla had come through there and churned it up. But they fixed it. And just about less than 2 weeks later, it blows up again. Now, the people that were building this new high-rise there in that area felt it was unsafe for their workers and all because of the coral and the water blew up, and some cars were impacted. In the early one in Christmas, I'm told 3 cars were basically buried. So what's with this? Why are some of these people getting indicted on these costs and this misspending, and to hire someone to repair something and pay them for it, and then it blows up on them? Does that mean the people are inept, or they're purchasing substandard material when it's costing us the same thing and the money's being pocketed? What does that mean? Is that corruption? Should they be a target of a grand jury? I'm not defending the chief of police, but I'm just seizing this opportunity to say, folks, if you find joy in seeing the chief of police resign, then there's just no hope for you, and you've abandoned, and you have no idea what the American dream is. You know, we're in no hurry to protect people's rights. One being accused is completely different than one being found guilty. So many of the things here I talk about, and I think they rise to the level of, I know that when they occur, there's a conspiracy involving and defrauding the public and unable to account for monies. You don't see an aggressive effort to prosecute, to clean house. Why, I went to the police off station in there and talked with two of the, I think it was a deputy chief at the time, and I think he's now acting. And I presented him a number of things, and he told me, well, you know, it would look bad for the police department to be doing white-collar crime. Really? Okay, so I guess it's who you are and who wants to incarcerate you, or who wants that seat you're in, or who wants to just do you in, gets the noose. So there's a subject out there. For example, you saw Roll Off Hawaii. Roll Offs Hawaii is a trash hauling, a refuge hauling, whatever you want to call it. It's a trash pickup service, and however you want to describe it. And it was recently sold in bankruptcy court. And we pulled up some of the records. Now, one of the things that caught our attention here is in the amount of money that is spent. Roll Off Hawaii, I wrote the city and asked some questions of the Environmental Service Department. And there's several issues there, but follow me carefully, and this is not an indictment he's a city worker, and we'll speak to it from a city official standpoint, where he stands, and not in his private life, but from the standpoint of a city official, public official. And that is Mr. Chris Gourlay. You see, Mr. Gourlay owned KNG Group, Inc. And Mr. Gourlay apparently sold this company back in 2010, August 12th, some news sources report. Then Mr. Gourlay apparently, it is suggested that he went and worked for Roll Off for a while, and then he was hired in 2014 by the City and County of Honolulu Refuge Division. Now, he reported that he sold, and they talk about it being that company being incorporated into Roll Off. And he apparently had some interest in it still. And we made an attempt some years back to ask questions, and We were assured that everything was fine. He no longer owned the thing and the company. And we found that in 2013, 2014, he didn't file a DCCA report, annual report, correlate. And quite naturally, if you've sold the company, you shouldn't be filling out any DCCA annual reports, or it's not your responsibility, nor should you be showing up as an officer on that if you sold it and you are now working for the city handling refuse. And the interest here is, you see, when there's a backup and the city fails to pick up or the trucks break down in servicing some of these contracts in Makaha and Eva Beach and what have you and various other locations, then there becomes an emergency. Trash backs up, so you, quite naturally, you reach out and you hire, and many of the occasions that these emergency hires were, the person that got it without the bids in many instances was Roll Off Hawaii. Now, we had our concerns, not to say anybody was guilty of anything, but we had our concerns. And those concerns were, how is it that a person that working, owning a company, sells it to a company, then that company then services city work sites and then gets a credit line at the dumping sites at H-Power and landfill. And that credit line is, if you exceed a certain amount of money, you should have a stop order on it where you are not allowed to dump trash until you pay up your bill. Well, I inquired, and many of them say that there was no such thing for this company. So I inquired about ENG, or KNG, and I asked what was the official title and duties of the department that Mr. Gourlay, Chris Gourlay, worked for. And their response was, Mr. Gourlay works for ENV's Refuse Division. His title is Refuse Collection Administrator. His duties include, but not limited to, plans, organizes, coordinates, directs, and controls the daily operations of the refuse collection branch, which encompasses refuse, recycling, bulky items, and dead animal collection, and equipment and base yard maintenance. What is the original date of employment? If you're referring to Mr. Gourlay, his first day of was July 1, 2014. What is the amount of money Mr. KNG owes to the city and county of Honolulu at H-Power and Waimanalo Gulch? They said that KNG Group has no outstanding balance and the account was closed on November 23, 2010. What is the amount of money Roloff owes the city and county of Honolulu for tipping fees at the H-Power plant and Waimanalo Gulch landfill? They responded $2.85 million that Roloff owes the city and county for the landfill matters. So we're still, and again, we're not drawing conclusions. We're asking questions and curious, and I'm openly discussing this just to ask the questions and if you have insight. But to go back further, so if Mr. Gourlay sold this company, KNG, and 2010. So we pulled back the records and we found that Mr. Gourlay, in August 2002, he had signed on as the name of the company was Christian Gourlay KNG Group, LLC. Then we ask in 2009, same thing. Gary Nelson owned with him. 2010, the year he sold it, he declared that he was the principal office address and the company, and the name of the person was Chris Gourlay. The name and registered agent was Chris Gourlay. 2011. The name of the registered owner, he declared. Now, this company had sold in 2010, so he declares that he is the manager and for KNG. 2012, same thing. 2015 and 2013, 2014, he didn't file one, and he was delinquent, and as I was told by DCCA, at that time it wasn't in good standing. And 2015 now this is, supposedly he'd sold the company, and now he's currently working for the city. In 2015, the annual filing indicates that Chris Gourlay is the owner, manager. 2016, Chris Gourlay. So if you sold a company and then you go and work for the city and county of Honolulu in the refuse division, and that company services refuse, and your business is assigning, and as I read, is there something wrong with that, or should there be more questions asked? Because is it a conflict? Is it an ethics problem? I don't know, but I'm very curious as to how you can sell a company, then work for it a little bit, the new company or the mother company, and then you are filing as you say you're working for them, and or you've sold it to them, but you're filing as a managing agent. Then in 2016, you're popping up again as the owner or manager of KNG. Something is quite curious about that. There is something interesting, I should say. And we're going to ask those questions, and if it's found that it's improper or not consistent with the laws or the ethics laws, we're going to be asking the mayor, you know, hey, should this person resign? What are the standards for resignation? I don't know, not drawing conclusions yet, but I'm just sharing with you in an open forum that this is what we're discovering and finding. Now, a while back when I initially was interested in this subject, couple of years back, we found that on one LinkedIn or what have you, one of those sites, it indicated Roll Off Hawaii, and then it gave a number and it says contact Chris Gourlay. I contacted that number and phoned it, and Chris Gourlay answered it. That time he was working for the city. So many questions are to be had here. What does this mean for you and me? I don't know. But when there are emergencies, is there a conflict? Is there a concern? Should we be concerned? Does it lend itself to potential problems? I don't know. But to go further, because they are in bankruptcy, and at that time, and then they filed, so we recovered some of the bankruptcy documents. And the voluntary petition for non-individuals filing for bankruptcy, the debtor's name is Roll Off Hawaii. All other names debtor used in the last 8 years. And one of those names that Roll Off is saying they use is the KNG Group. Hawaii Pacific Hydraulics, Roll Off Hawaii. Well, Hawaii Pacific Hydraulics was also Mr. Gourlay is associated with that company as one of the owners. So, again, there are some questions. I've inquired at the various locations and was told that no one recalls seeing or receiving notification that they had exceeded their limit and do not accept any loans until they pay up. Now, there was an explanation someone gave me, and I don't have the the papers in hand, but I was told because it was the bank who forced the bankruptcy sales or something to that effect, and so therefore they were never behind more than a month, and they had a bill of about $1 million. I don't know how that works, if and they were timely, I'm told, but for some reason the city and county of Honolulu is owed that $2.85 million. So that's just a few things, and I offer that because I'm interested in knowing that how can, if Chief Louis Kealoha is a bad man and a bad boy, and we have to get rid of him in such a fashion and force him out or compel him to or cajole or badger, or you given options. Why aren't other people given options? Or why are even some people even being hired? And so, looking at this under the Chapter 11, roll-off Chapter 11, 9 cases, list of creditors who have the largest unsecured claims and are not insiders. And folks, you may not know it, but you are one of the people who are unsecured, because in there it states that name of creditor and complete mailing address, including zip code. The city and county of Honolulu. The unsecured claim amount is, I don't have any drums here to roll, but here it is, ladies and gentlemen. They owe the city, as according to this, or it reflects an unsecured claim, $1,982,129.70. Now, is that to be added with the $2.85 million? And that's just the beginning. Now, if you're familiar with the bankruptcy filings and that process, you have to disclose who you owe money to and so forth. Now, I'm wondering if the grand jury would be interested in this, you see, if Kirk Caldwell, you know, I mean, we're looking, talk about being honest and cleaning up government, because that's why you put the squeeze on the chief, supposedly, in theory, right? But it seems to be they only apply that theory or that approach or that management technique when it comes to people that were not raised in the big house on the plantation. So I'm wondering, is listed here in this list of people, it says that Caldwell for mayor. I don't know if he's Caldwell for mayor is old money or Caldwell for mayor owes money. But it falls under the list of the debtor had to identify. So then you go on, and we have the city and county of Honolulu DMV, city and county of Honolulu damage claim, Department of Budget and Fiscal Services, Parks and Enterprise Fiscal, city and county of Honolulu customer service, city and county of Honolulu environmental services, and the city and county of Honolulu landfill, or LF, and city and county refuse. So, I'm curious. Where's the mayor letting us know? There's someone said now, and I don't know how true this is, and they tossed out, says, you know, it when you look at this, it's potential that there's $10 million involved. I don't know where to begin on that and how true that is. But again, are we talking about integrity? Are we talking about ethics? Is that why the chief was? Because we have a high standard of ethics here and we operate zero tolerance? Or is it just the boys in the big house on the plantation get to play and insert and poke and pull and place people where they want them to be, as if we're all machines? I don't know. Just asking. But That's the game here. Now, I in pursuit of trying to obtain these documents that I read from DCCA and as well, I had the occasion to go in and inquire at to try and obtain documents from DCCA on Friday. And again, this is how the game is played, ladies and gentlemen. We talk about how corrupt or entrenched the Trump or the fears that everyone has expressed. I don't think Donald Trump could ever rise to this level of conspiracy and corruption. I don't think there's one single thing. And I say that, and I don't know a darn thing about Donald Trump, but I have never in my adult life witnessed anything more corrupt and more active and more aggressive as the state of Hawaii and the Honolulu County. Honestly. I've seen them forgive real crooks and damn innocent people that have yet to be proven guilty. They will skewer you publicly. Every day you see on TV, the chief, there's a report on the chief, and I'm thinking, oh, okay, some new revelations, and it's the same thing. So this selective targeting or targeting individuals to do what? To accomplish what? There should be some standards. Peter Carlisle should have not a single word to be rebroadcast as it relates to the chief of police and his opinion, especially when he's representing one of the people that the chief is suing or have a legal case against and questioning the activities. See, sometimes corruption isn't just taking your money and whatever. It's insulting your common sense, just being willing to present it to you. It's like it just doesn't sit well, but what do? So I go to DCCA, and the normal practice that I do is I fill out a form that they provide, and you want to meet some good people in government. They're the staff there, the staff that works there, you'll never find a better group of people. Never. And I've been going there for 20 years, 22, 3 years. Never had one bad experience. The ladies and the gentlemen there work there, always nice, extremely nice. You'd be proud. But this visit, I was met with, I'm sorry, but you know, we can no longer provide you information for a person's name, where normally, see, you may not know this and they didn't tell you, but you go into DCCA and you want to find a name of a business search, then you file a form and you tell the name and they'll print it off for you. You can go on the internet. But what you don't know, the general public does not know, or did not know, is that each name, you can enter a name in the database, and then that name will tell you, the computer will print out how many businesses and the name of the businesses you are associated with, or that person you're interested in associated with, or own, or closed. So if you were to be buying a vacuum cleaner, for example, and you bought the vacuum cleaner, and you had a couple of problems with it, you found that it does not work, and you can buy it for $300, but you paid $4,700 for it, and you want your money back. You've been ripped. So you go down and you ask for the name of the company, and you pull it up, and then you find out that company has been closed. But then that same person running that company that sold you that $4,700 vacuum cleaner, open another business and move down the street. You wouldn't know that. But DCCA, Department of Consumer Affairs. So here's what I was told. Well, we know that we normally would give you this, but we've been instructed not to give it. We're no longer going to allow that. Okay, no problem. As I say, if you met the women that work there and the rest of the staff, you would never find yourself getting cross with them. You have no reason. They don't give you any reason. That's how nice they are. So I inquired, well, how did this come about? Was there a public notice? What prompted this? Well, the director, the new commissioner, and I didn't bother to mention her name. You can find that out. But the commissioner initiated this, invoked this new rule. Okay, was it sent out to the public? Notification? Did you guys get a notification memorandum? Well, yeah, we got a memo. Well, can I talk to her? Okay, well, she's not in, and so I get Mr. Tanji, Henry Tanji. And if you know, like you've come to know as I do, the last thing you want to do is be referred to a deputy, anything in this state, because you might as well just accept the first no as you would the 10 no's that exist that's going to be handed to you. And so I finally get in touch with him, and basically he's going to recite and tell me why I can't have the documents. And I had asked, please don't refer me to him. If that's the answer, there's no purpose. I want to talk to the commissioner. Well, she won't be in until April. She's on maternity leave. So, in other words, I now have to wait until April until she returns. Isn't that funny? In a democracy, in a state government, in a public service, if you get pregnant, we all suffer because you got pregnant or you gave birth to a baby and you get maternity leave. Am I missing something here? So if you got to get jaw surgery for your tooth break or broken or the jaw broken or whatever, does the public have to share your pain and then the show stops there until you recover? Is that government? So, I'm then told that I can't get it, and then I should write them a letter. Now, they've already told me no, and they told me that it was done by the commissioner, and then he reiterates and takes the same stance as the commissioner, and then invites me and instructs me to write a letter to them telling them I disagree. Well, heck, I disagreed when I first was told it, that I couldn't have it. So why would a commissioner just out of the wild blue yonder under David Ige, she was appointed by him, why would they upset the apple cart or the flow of things? And When in fact, if I knew the person's name, if I knew the name of the company, I could go in there and ask for the records and get the same information there, right? But you see, if you list a company as an LLC owned by managers or managed by managers, you don't have to name anyone. But this way, you could go back and just run the name and you can find out what companies. And you might likely be able to protect yourself from fraud or what have you through this method. So DCCA, Consumer Affairs, really is a misnomer. There's nothing about consumer affairs. It's about apparently they're shielding and in creating a climate. And if you know the prosecution rate of the violations for various people that are ripping off the public, in businesses, you would say, why wouldn't they want to have a name, Soundex or Index, where you can query by name? Probably the best thing since sliced bread. But no, in a town where people with power on the plantation, or people that have gotten in the know and become implements or obstructionists for the system that's corrupt, this is what you get. So in the next hour, if you like to, you can call in 524-1080, and we're going to take a break, but we'll talk about some sewage and some other things, and talking about the AES Hawaii cogeneration plant out there in Campbell Industrial Park. We just filed a complaint with the state. And once again, I'm told the EPA is in town reviewing the state's handling and hiring of personnel that they've funded, and also reviewing the state's practices as it relates to the NPDES permits, the National Pollution Elimination Discharge System permits. And again, I think it's well overdue. The health department is probably, when it comes to purpose and intent, and how the managers of that deviate and these policies and practices that they have, I would say it's nothing to do with government. It is probably one of the most corrupt agencies in the state. And it's disjointed, and nobody is willing to fix it. The people, you have little fiefdoms or little kingdoms. If you have a branch chief, all things stop there. You have honest workers and inspectors, and all things stop there, though, because if the branch chief doesn't want to do anything, nothing happens. They put the kibosh on it. But I say that it's one of the worst the health department is, and in its totality, and that is because it's the interest of the welfare and the health of the people, the population. Nothing to do with taxes or anything. You can't get straight answers from them when it comes to sushi that's contaminated or poke that is imported. There's always a delay. You think you're looking at a bunch of a Boy Scout convention when we do have a problem. You can never get straight answers. The molasses issues, look how that was handled. There should have been major payments and recuperation. But the Department of Health approaches it as if you are going to prosecute and charge per fish or the damages and the coral, then you should be making an inventory yourself. You should be recovering. Imagine the police department telling someone, okay, we're going to hire you as a private investigation agency, security, and we want you to go out there and pick up all the bullet shells that from this murder scene, and just go out there and pick them up and let us know how many. And chain of custody? Oh, don't worry about that. We'll just give them to our. We'll leave one of the officers there. And just that will never happen. But when it came to the molasses, they said 26,000 fish or something, some number they gave. And who was counting? Hell, I saw thousands in one harbor. Didn't see anybody counting them. Out at K.E. Lagoon, thousands. Didn't see anybody out there trudging in the mud and counting. So this health department has, I would say, the way it operates, I think in the coming years we'll see their slow and sorry, pitiful approach to protecting the environment. I think it's going to present itself in the form of illnesses and sicknesses that we don't anticipate, because they go through the motion claiming they're doing something, but in reality they're not. Paper pushers and corrupt. Fraudulent practices of travel, corrupt. But no indictments. No letters of target of investigation. I don't mean to depress you, and probably the three of you that's listening, you'll be informed, and just be careful. This is not someone that's paranoid. I'm telling you that when we come back with the AES discussion and share with you that, and the ash and the coal ash and the FBCA, you know, fluidized burnt coal ash, you'll see. So we'll be back in the next hour. This is the Carol Cox Show. You can listen to us at carolcox.com or pick us up on today. It's Sunday. It's Sunday, 1 o'clock. You can get the video on Channel 54 on Leachate. So go there and let me know what you think. We'll talk to you in the next hour. Aloha.
A long, long time ago, wherever you'd lead me, I would surely follow. Girl, you put me through some pain and misery, and now you are standing on my doorstep, telling me how much you need me. Baby, ain't nobody home. Times I begged for you to come home, but you laughed at me and said, let me alone. Through my burning tears, I saw you walk away, and now you're begging me to forgive you. But this time, baby, if you turn to pray, baby, ain't nobody. But time has made some changes, turned me upside down. So you can beg me to forgive you. But this time, baby, you can turn right around. Ain't nobody home. Ain't nobody. Baby, ain't nobody home.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show, right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
Aloha, this is Carol Cox. Please join me right here at KWAI 1080 AM from 9 o'clock to 11 AM on Sunday mornings. You can also catch us on podcasts at carolcox.com, CarolCox.com. You can also share your news tips with us at carolcox.com.
Shining, I was in my
lover. I gazed up at the stars above. Yes, I lay my head on my pillow. Yes, looking up at the stars above. I tell you it's a miserable feeling.
If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Hey, good morning and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. 524-1080 is the number if you have any comments or would like to share with others and or have comment about my comments. 524-1080. You can pick us up at carolcox.com or kwai1080am.com, streaming live. And again, at 1 o'clock today, every Sunday, my show airs on Channel 54 and Olelo. And also on Thursdays at 7 o'clock. And that's about it. But feel free and I want to make sure that I separate the two and that and you understand that my concern is with upper management in these state and government agencies, because most of the information and what I'm able to bring to you, if you're interested in it or if you find it beneficial, I get that from city, state, federal workers. People that do not want to be part of a corrupt system. So I don't want to present myself as being know-all, being on the scene at every spot and what have you. It's impossible. So I want to make sure that you understand that from what I present, most of it is supported, and I get the initial ideas and information from honest government workers who do not want to be lying to the public, who do not want to be stealing money and being part of a process to bring in people, make them work so that the superintendents or others could justify being on duty and making overtime to get their high threes. And that is a plausible and a common practice here, folks, believe it or not. Work being created, not to do work during the normal work hours. So I don't want to mislead you and give you the perception that I know all of this. Take, for example, both sewage spills at Coalina. Workers call me and tell me immediately, because they're told on this last one, the first one back up in November, I talked to citizens and I talked to workers, and they said that this leak at the first one in November went for 3 or 4 days. Now, we've spent lots and lots of money for the SCADA system, and we can tell when there's a loss or a low in the flow or what have you. So what's happening here? They're spending our tax dollars, and then in turn, we're not getting those things that we are promised or we're told that they spent the money on. So believe it or not, we have lots of friends in city and state government, we, you, me, that look out for us. And the problem is, it's how do you react when we bring this to you? Do you give a rat's butt, or do you just think it's just me talking, or do you appreciate? And I hope that you can understand that to appreciate this, if one or any of them get caught telling me anything, it's death to their career. So, you know, if you think you got something to lose, imagine them losing. And you think that they're not busy trying to find out who the rat is, and, you know, I see them, I get pictures and they post pictures of, when was that taken? How did you get that picture? You see, because they're looking to see who was on schedule, who was on duty that day. This is the kind of efforts they put together to ferret out the, quote, rat. So, speaking of getting our money's worth in sewage and all, so I got a letter dated January 5th. Someone anonymously wrote this letter. And this is what they say, and it's a response to, I haven't seen the direct quote, but apparently the city alluded to the fact that there was a cathodic protection system on a petroleum pipe that caused the erosion or the breakdown of the city water pipe. And so this person apparently took issue with that and has the knowledge in the background. And just to give you an example of what, this is an anonymous letter. I just received it yesterday in the mail. There's no name to it, but it states, subject, facts that public should know related to recent Coalina sewer spill. 1. Sewer force main construction as built drawings. The dual force main system was originally designed and constructed many years ago with own cathodic protection system stations to protect against pipe corrosion and bypass valves stations to quickly divert flow. That's 1. 2. Are these cathodic protection systems and valve stations still in operation and being properly maintained? 3. If not, why and how long have they been left neglected? 4. Do current city personnel even know where they are? Period. And sign a very old engineer. So, anyway, we're not getting the straight skinny on anything. And you might be comfortable in life and all, but it's just bad business. And it's not to speak of the pollution and the environment and what have you. 524-1080 is the number if you have any comments or questions or want to make an announcement or something that you're getting married or having twins or whatever, you know, it's a new year. You never know what happened around this town. But there is hopefully we see more indictments of people defrauding the public, and that we see in other states. I'm reading from in different states, man, they don't tolerate city government officials and what have you. They go after them to try and clean up. And that something's wrong. So anyway, AES Hawaii Inc., as I said earlier, we file a complaint. And the complaint is, it's located over there on Kaomi Loop, 91-086 Kaomi Loop. Now, this is not to say that they've done anything wrong, but we have concerns and what appears to be violations of a solid waste permit. And if you're interested, in that, go to their the state's website on the WPC viewer, State Health Department, and their permit number is RY00081-11. And this permit was issued on April 21st, 2014, and expires April 25th, 2016. Then there's another one, a new one, I guess. It's well, right now I just have the one. This is the older permit. So, the Department of Health states that everything is fine with what's going on. They're storing their ash, fluidized ash, and that becomes a problem. Neighbors around, and you, if you want to witness it yourself, you can go there to this area, and if there's high wind days, you can see the ash laying there and piles being stored. And they, it blows, and you'll see it. Just yesterday, I was there, and I had to roll my windows up. The wind was blowing, and there was dust. They had disturbed it. So we'll call this FBCA, fluidized bed combustion ash, FBCA. And that comes from burning of coal and alternative fuel to generate electricity. And so what we witness there is in the along the street curbs, there is the curbside, there is deposits of what appears to be coal and coal ash waiting. And then there's a sprinkler system that comes on and on the grass that waters the grass. And if you look in the grass, you'll see this grayish material that has covered in some areas the natural earth color. And then if you look along the curbside, you'll see where water carries this ash down to the storm drain and into the storm drain and into the ocean. So we're depositing that. And then if you go there, you'll see mountains of ash. And you'll also see unburned coal. And that coal dust is drifting and blowing around. And that is of concern to many of people and having an impact. So we have what we're concerned with is the management of it. And they say, well, in the permit, you have to have a fence around it that is not torn or ratted or tattered. And you look, there's one huge puka in it, in the fence. And then if you look again and you look up at the coal area, you'll see the coal, there's a berm, or we'll call it a moat, around it. Just yesterday we see that it had spilled over and into the fence and then possibly will flow into the, with some rain and whatever, flow into the stream that goes into the ocean. So the state really has no management. They'll issue a permit. And in turn have no personnel to go and inspect. And so there are some serious problems with that. And let me just give you some ideas of why we should be concerned with this coal on the loose, so to speak. There's antimony of concern. Maximum contaminant concentration for FBCA use. Some of this ash is taken off and delivered to PVT, where they use it for fire breaks in their setup. And they indicate, and I'll share with you later, AES, some other uses that they quote, they're recycling this ash in some products with the cement company. But they're supposed to be sampling and looking for the toxicity of levels of toxicity and determining that, sampling them. But here are some of the constituents that are on the loose potentially with this fluidizer, or this FBCA. Antimony, arsenic, barium, beryllium, boron, cadmium, chromium, copper, iron, lead, mercury, molybdenum, nickel, selenium, silver, thallium, zinc. And they give a concentration. So imagine working in that area and having to breathe it, get it on your skin, and it goes through that way to introduce into your body that way as well, epidermally. Your eyes, your lungs. And the state is specific and tell these people that you can't allow this stuff to be drifting off the property. But the state really rarely, as I was told by the state inspectors there, that might be, they haven't been there because they don't have anybody to inspect. So basically, as one of the inspectors do, they are self-policing. And so how do we guarantee this facility existing and yet no inspection from the state? I don't know when the last inspection was, but this is according to the inspectors that I did speak to when I made the initial request for information. And the permit may combust mixtures of coal and alternative fuels, provided that coal is at least 95% of the total fuel. The permittee shall notify the DOH in writing of any changes or composition of the fuel mixtures. So I really don't know what suitable means shall be employed to control nuisance, prevent solid waste from scattering, the hours and days of operation, the name and address of the operator, and the other information pertinent to the operations. Suitable means shall be employed to control nuisance, prevent solid waste from scattering, control litter and dust, and minimize odors and vectors such as rodents. The permit shall be responsible for aesthetics, non-hazardous, and sanitary storage of all FBCA. The permittee shall store material in accordance with the special condition. Open stockpiles of FBCA shall be managed to control FBCA from scattering dusting or dust and prevent ash or runoff from entering any surface body of water, water body. The DOH may at any time require the permittee to further abate surface water runoff if an inspection indicates poor or insufficient control. Now that sounds good, but when is the state going out to inspect? And if they are going out to inspect, why is it you can observe these conditions just so blatant? So I'm thinking that from this complaint, we'll go further, hopefully, and see that hold them accountable and ask, we'll more likely ask the EPA to file a complaint with the EPA, because waiting on the state is just absolutely raises some concern. Now that I've learned what I've, you know, initially it's, you go to the state and you think, well, it's okay if they play you for food once in a while, once in a year, once every month or so, maybe we can tolerate that. But when they're not doing their job, and I was shocked just here recently to learn, and I think I talked about it last week a bit, and I'm waiting for the actual files, but imagine being me, or put yourself in my place. You go out and you bother to look at these things because you have a basic understanding what should be and what shouldn't be. And you understand that the regulatory body is the state health department. So you would think the reception is, if I showed up and said, look, here's some pictures. I know that you're short of manpower and what have you, but here are some pictures. And this is what we see. And by the way, I have workers for this company or citizens that witnessed this and they want to talk to you. And you bring these people to the state health department's office. They interview these people and the people say, well, we'll anytime you need us, let us know. We have books, we have records, I made notes, and I'll be happy to testify. This is what the people say when I bring them to the state. So just recently I learned that in the GLAD landscaping where the relative of the violator was actually the inspector for the health department that it was handling this matter, the gentleman accompanied me to the state health department's office, the witness, a former employee, gave them everything, told them everything, and they said, yes, we will come, we'll call you. To date, which is now, that was in 2012, they never called him back. You see? So they never intended, and they never intend. This is why I don't want to sound foul-mouthed or mean-spirited about anyone. But I'm going through this motion and these gyrations of trying to do what's right and not to do their job. But as a witness, I'm going above and beyond. And what do? I have learned time and time and time again. They get the information from me and they never intend, never. And they always invoke this, the attorney, we got to talk to the attorney general about this, and apparently they talk to the attorney general, and then they go and they interview people. I have one case where they interviewed the person standing in tar and oily substance dumped on the ground, and the person tells them, yes, I took this, I hauled it in from the military bases, oily water, I took this tar out of the tanks that I normally haul, and I dump it on the ground to manage the gravel in my yard. Did they prosecute him? Nope. They got him for a permit without a facility without a permit. And many other violations. So I offer this to tell you there are some serious shenanigans going on and you're not being protected. Nope. They may call them Dr. whatever, but I see them as Dr. Zhivago or Dr. Dracula. They just suck the lifeblood out of anything good. They won't do their job. You take, for example, over at Hickam. And a while back, we talked about the EALs, environmental action levels, that are assigned by the state health department, and that means certain levels dictate certain actions or preventing measures that you have to incorporate or basically decide that it's not livable if it's residential or what have you. But these EALs, so they said at Hickam and surrounding areas that where chlordane and diligen and allergen was used extensively, and the state, there was major violations, and at Hickam they decided the state went ahead and just penciled in the new numbers, gave a new level to cover, compensate. And then they say their risk assessment was good enough that it was, if you stayed there for 3 years, it did not pose a great risk to you. But if you exceeded 3 years living there in this property or in these facilities and breathing the dirt and what have you, are coming and it poses a threat. Well, that's why they allow the military to stockpile the material and bury it right there on base. There's a big mound as you drive along Nimitz. Well, in many of these places now that are being rented and leased by private companies who are renting to National Guard members and other people, they're made likely to live there 4, 5, 6 years. And they didn't factor that in and won't factor it in. So these people may end up developing cancer or get illnesses that, and never know what happened. So when you're dealing with the state health department, you better look over your shoulder and take with a grain of salt what it is that they are doing and saying, because, and I mean nothing. They won't, you know, they're losing people, and I said this before. You now, if they meant to serve the people, they're moving the solid and hazardous waste branch and all of the environmental branches up to Manana, on the all the way up top of Pearl City. Now, you can't get there on a bus because it stops a mile downhill, the bus service does. And I haven't seen them say or written anything to say that they are actually going to ask the city to extend the bus. But now you'll have to go all the way up. And some of you, you know this facility. But what's happening is I've learned that a number of the inspectors are leaving the agency and going to taking other state jobs because the difficulty in getting to work. Some of them live in Kaneohe and what have you, and has expressed concern of getting up there. And so getting it out of the way. So no longer here shortly, they will be moving out of the facility at Golden Shores or at Ward in Ala Moana. You go figure that out. But that's what is going on with the State Health Department. And the AES matter, we will be bringing you more on this subject. And hopefully they clean up the act or clean up the ash or clean up the coal. But this... they call it FBCA recycling and disposal, and this is what I just got from the city, from the state health department's records. And current available recycling and disposal options for this ash. So keep an eye on this, and when you're dealing, you might be concerned. Permitted recycling facilities, as I told you, they take some to Pacific PVT landfill, then they take some to Hawaiian Cement. And then they take some to, they're saying now that Waimanala Gulch, I didn't know that they were dumping coal ash in Waimanala Gulch. I don't know that, and I'm going to pursue that. But for those of you that live on that side, then Headwaters, and then there's the total amount in August of 2016, they say they had the number of metric tons or was 3,430.39, and the amount that goes to PVT and to Hawaiian Cement and Waimanala Gulch is redacted. And they also say that AES is working on several different opportunities with local and mainland vendors to both secure offloading as well as beneficial reuse of the material due to the fact that these opportunities require time to secure, and there are several options being explored. We have not yet defined the best options. However, several options that are being explored and their timetables are can be found here. 1. Mainland offloading. Beginning May 2016, AES has started removing ash from Hawaii and moving it to the mainland, working with Headwater Company in Oregon to dispose at Wasco County Landfill. And you see, that would probably be a cost incurred to haul it from here, to haul it to Washington, to truck it. Then it says that NU Rock. AES has been working with New Rock an Australian company to determine the quality of our ash in brick products and frack sand. Testing is complete. AES Hawaii's market team leader is in talks with New Rock presently. So this material is supposed to be protected and guarded against polluting and preventing it from contaminating and because of arsenic and all. And they're now going to use it for fracking. So when we hear about fracking sands, and I too have become enlightened, I had no clue that ash from burning facilities or coal ash was actually being used in fracking or intended to be used in fracking. And so I read you that list of chemicals or constituents of concern, the heavy metals, you know, like arsenic and what have you. So imagine, wonder if anybody is going to be using that in fracking on the mainland, Dakotas, wherever, Oklahoma. Now you're talking about potential for groundwater contamination. How about that one? So there is some real serious issues here, and we hope to continue to follow them and see what it's so much, volumes and volumes of things that the state allow to happen. And one of the things also that why I describe them as corrupt, and I think I've mentioned somewhat briefly about this. When we talk about transparency, we are not there, and generally when the public, when there's an incident, we wouldn't know, and we don't have the right to go trouncing on, walking around and perusing, looking on private properties and companies, you know. And the circumstances may not lend themselves to that because of safety and what have you. But we should have an unobstructed access to these facilities through the paperwork. We should be able to go to the Department of Health and on announcement that we are there. The law says you can go in on any given business day, but they have incorporated this. Well, we have 10 days, and so it's an inconvenience. And then if you want it, you got to pay for the documents, or you got to wait until they search the files and clear the files out of anything, redacting and what have you. And it makes for an interesting thing here. And they take, for example, AES, the FBCA was tracked and documented during the month of August 2016 for stored FBCA and transported FBCA. Monitoring and tracking was recorded in accordance with the above reference permit dated May 5th, 2016. And this is the thing that bothers me, and I want to share this with you so in case you take upon yourself and you're interested to go look at something or your property or whatever. They state in this letter to the state, in an effort to increase transparency of the ash opportunities we are pursuing, we are requesting this document and all future FBCA recycling and disposal reports remain confidential business information. In the effort to increase transparency of the ash opportunities. So in other words, our interests should be served as a company should be served. This is my take on it. And the hell with the people that would be impacted. So therefore, we're asking that we want these records withheld so that we can go off and negotiate with people without letting the public know. And we wouldn't want the public to know that the fracking that is going on, that we're fracking in the, quote, fracking sand, and now that tells me this is the name game, fracking sand, you would think any innocuous effort or attempt just using sand. And we all think of sand as being crushed rock or weathered rock and sand. But in their own letters, they're saying, the attached letter, we don't want this information to get in the hands of the public, so therefore we're asking that it be remain confidential. And so why would they claim transparency to enhance it and then turn around and declare they want it withheld? So let's say they withhold it, and I'll tell you too that if you ever develop an interest or need to know something about AES Hawaii and their coal, the amount of ash that they deliver to these facilities, number one, at PVT is a landfill. PVT is required to have an annual report of the tonnage of materials that they receive. So why on earth would AES make this declaration or make this request and then redact the amount that goes to PVT when PVT is obligated by law to report the amount of ash they get in tons? It doesn't make sense. But it's to frustrate the access, the public's knowledge. I mean, it might be way out of your league or you're not interested, but that is the real concern. How could you? You see? How could you file these documents and declare in an effort to increase transparency of the opportunities we are pursuing? I have no clue what that means other than speculating. Then, in other words, we're out there wheeling and dealing, in my words, that whatever deals we strike up, and we don't want to have it known that we're going to be using ash and selling ash and people are going to be fracking with it. And I say, no fracking way. It can't happen. We, the public, needs to know. And can you imagine? The poor people in Oklahoma, they're already saying that the fracking is causing earthquakes. And yet, nothing, and they don't know. And now they bring in order from Australia. I don't know if they're going to be selling it worldwide or just using it strictly. But if you're Australian and you're heads up on this now, you might want to definitely pursue it. And know that and alert your other folks over there and your relatives and all where that they will be pumping coal ash, fluidized-based coal ash in the ground and fracking efforts. So that's a new one for me. But anyway, back to this thing called the city, county, government of Honolulu and state. Now, I told you about 2 weeks ago that the mayor should be looking for a new emergency services director. And then I recently heard, not formally, but informally, that the director has resigned and retired. Or retired, let's say. He didn't resign, he retired. So, and we, as we had discussed online here on the show, we had made a number of inquiries about a number of things, to include the use of drugs and monitoring of drugs and testing of drugs for the workers and what have you. So, we don't know what transpired, and we're thinking that based on the activities of the environmental services and one sewage spill after the other and all of this, we think that the mayor should ask for Kahakina's resignation, or she should resign. Because I don't believe, and this is according to many of the workers there, they're not happy and not satisfied with her. And they have spoken out, and apparently, now I don't have this firsthand, but many of the people that were that work for the city have expressed this concern and suggested that the union had approached the mayor to express concerns. But recent list shows that she's still up for an appointment or approval by the council or whom that body that approves them. So before we go, 524-1080 is the number. If you got one thing you want to talk about, I'll give you, I think we got about another 14 minutes. And if not, we'll play a little music and a few other things. But there's so much to be chitter-chatting about. And you just don't know where to start, and connecting the dots is just, I don't know what to tell you. The state told me that they would be investigating or visiting or inspecting the Kehi transfer station. Again, if any of you know anybody that paddles or swims or frequent the Kehi Lagoon area, boat recreation area of the park, let them know about, go to Carol Cox or Cox on Facebook, Cox782-6627. And watch that video. I believe that the source of the bulk of the contamination, the bacterial, high levels of bacterial in the water, originates at the Kehi transfer station. And I believe that the city and county of Honolulu is complicit, and they know that. And we have pictures upon pictures upon pictures to show the trucks leaking onto the asphalt, onto the pavement. And there's a storm drain that flows right into the Mauna Loa stream that leads to Kehi Lagoon. I originally called it the Kehi transfer station stream, but it's the Mauna Loa stream. And so if I was you, I would give some serious thought to following up and contacting the city and the state health department and demanding that they require testing for bacteria in the Wailua stream and the sewer lines, or not sewer, but the storm water lines from the Kehi transfer station. We have the diagrams, we have the maps, we have everything, we have the application for their clean water NPDES permit, and all of that is spelled out. There is no doubt, but nowhere in any of that application or what have you are they required or requested to test for bacteria. Now you would think, regardless if the state require them to or not, because this, the city has an interest of the health and welfare of the people too. I mean, we don't hopefully have in place the trash company or the refuse division of environmental services just to create jobs. The whole effort is to manage the potential threats of waste and the diseases and bacteria and all that are associated with that. So that is one of the things. So you would think they would be out there protecting, but instead, if the state don't tell them to do something, they're not going to do it. But that's something that they're doing is potentially sickening and threatening the health of the environment and the people. So why would a government wish to be told, or, well, they didn't tell us, or they didn't set it as a condition, so therefore we don't need to test for bacteria, or we don't need to test for certain things in the water, or fecal coliform or Clostridium. We don't have to test for that because our permit does not require us to. But if you're the city and you have the environmental services and you have the clean water branch and you have the wastewater branch and you have all of that, and we're paying them to monitor this and protect us and prevent the contamination, but they don't do it because they're not told to do it. So it's a strange duck, man. It really is. So next week I'm going to try and put together a discussion on no-kill shelters, and hopefully, if not next week, the following week we're planning on, I'm going to ask Dr. Jill Vokes to come in and talk about give her an hour to talk about the trap-neuter release program. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments or question.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
But the contamination, that should be a no-brainer. They're not testing, and it could do something to the public.
Mm-hmm.
That's a derelict of duty.
Yeah.
To protect the public, yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's an ugly thing.
Yeah, this one, I can't put my brain around it, because these are professional, and they got wastewater managers in the Department of the City and County Refuge and Environmental Services.
They probably get $100,000 salaries, $80,000 or something. Who knows?
Yeah, and so I'm going to be pushing and writing and asking and complaining that a full regime of sampling and testing, and that sampling and testing results be provided to the public.
Yeah, well, it's health and safety. These guys aren't upholding the law, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, they spilled it, and then they waste it, and they tell us, who is that, Kurt Caldwell in the background?
No, that's a little mutt on the side of the road. I mean, the codfish, I call him. Codfish that got rotten.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a real specimen, man, I tell you, of a human being.
Yeah.
I met him kind of up front, and he's so fake. See right through him.
Yeah, well, we're going to ask some questions, and you know, I don't. What's your opinion on? I mentioned earlier that I don't know if you heard that part where the bank that he gets $200,000 from for being on the board served as his. That's where he deposits his war chest of.
All the contributions.
Yeah, campaign monies there.
But he gets interest on it too.
Yeah, you know, I'm just like, is that reason for for the grand jury to look at it, or the FBI? You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure. And he got elected with that cloud over his head.
Yeah.
The people are just sheeple. The vote for the guy.
Well, we sound like we're the same age old. But
yeah, I'm older than you probably. But that doesn't matter age.
Old is good enough. If once you get old, who cares?
Yeah, right. Once you're old, it's old. You got it. And the other thing you were talking about, the no-kill?
Yeah.
That's a real good idea, you know. I feel sorry for the animals. It's not their fault that people abandon them and stuff. Or mm-hmm. just bring them to the shelter. And, you know, they only get 21 days or something like that. And then they got to dispose of them.
The gas chamber.
Yeah.
Yeah, or whatever
they
kill
burn them.
They inject them or something. I don't really know, but yeah.
If they get rid of the bodies, I think they incinerate them.
Mm-hmm.
When you drive by the pound over there, you see that little oven thing. I've heard that's where they just put them in there and cook them up.
Well, I understand they no longer
do that.
Cook them there or burn them there. They provide them to another facility, and then in turn something.
Yeah, you can see it all when you drive on the freeway. There's over there on the right if you're going south.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's kind of ugly.
Yeah. And, well, we're going to try and talk about that and have a healthy discussion. But you know, I was going to say to you, the craziest things I hear, man, And every day you're going to hear this. Well, you know, Hillary Clinton was a crook, and I couldn't, and she did Benghazi, and she didn't do this, and I just couldn't bring myself to vote for her. Donald Trump, I know, I'm quoting people now, Donald Trump, I know, is a scumbag, quoting a scumbag, but he has plans. Can you help me out on that one, brother? Because I'm lost, man. There's something in the water, or the Russians got us all a bug up our butts, or something.
So lame. And you know the weirdest thing? This guy Pence. This guy's supposed to be one holy roller,
right?
And he's mixing deals with the devil.
Yeah. Well,
see, it's insane. You got it.
Yeah, I'm lost, man, because I can't see saying you didn't vote for this crook, but you'll vote for this guy is a crook, but you'll find it because he got plans. All righty. Okay.
Talk to you later.
Take care. Aloha. Well, folks, we're going to let you go, and we'll follow up on that, and please join us next week, and we'll talk to you later. Aloha.
Has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu. Find out what everyone's talking about.
This is KWAI Honolulu.